I want to go right into the Word of God today, because at baptism it's important that we hear the Word of God, because baptism is rooted and it's all about the Word of God. So if you have a Bible, and at this time you may use your electronic device if the Bible is on there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. It says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him." Just listen to this now. "We love him because he first loved us." What does it mean to love God with all your heart? Well, this text says, first of all, what it means is that we have boldness for the day of judgment. That we are not afraid of the day of Jesus' coming. We don't have to fear, oh, if Jesus came today, would I be ready? No, this boldness is that we are in this ready state, preparedness to meet Jesus at any moment. Isn't that beautiful? That we don't have to fear and dread the day of judgment. And then we don't have to have any fear for anything else. Because if we don't have to fear judgment, we don't have to be afraid of anything else, or do we? Now, I know there's always the fear, will I make it? Will I be faithful? Will I really follow through? Will I be consistent in my walk with the Lord? And that is very important, that we examine ourselves at all times. When we receive a new heart to love God, and I would like to emphasize, only with a new heart we can truly love God, it should show in our actions and in our attitudes. There's a story that Jesus told. It was this young lawyer or young ruler. He must have been educated. He must have been quite wealthy and well respected. But anyway, he comes to Jesus and he asks him the eternal question. What is most important? He says, "Teacher, tell me what I have to do to inherit eternal life. I want to live forever. I don't want this life to be all that there is. I know that I have a soul that lives in all eternity, but I want to have this eternal life." And his response was, "You need to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself." The young man, he wanted to justify himself. He said to Jesus, "So who is my neighbor?" And Jesus, as was his custom, he told a story. And the story was, a certain man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among the thieves. He was mugged and robbed. Not only that, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going by. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side, and a Levite did the same when he saw the man. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, or he had compassion on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, and poured on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He took him to an inn. The next day, the Samaritan took out 2 silver coins and said to the innkeeper, "You take care of him. When I return, I'll reimburse you for for any extra expense. Which of these, Jesus said, do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Well, the young ruler said, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. You see, a sinful heart doesn't have compassion. Now, you may say, well, that's not true because a lot of unbelievers have compassion. But true compassion comes out of the love of God that only a reconciled or a redeemed person can experience. Many people want to love God, but they don't know how. Many people want to love God and say, well, if I go to church and hear a sermon once in a while, if I sing some hymns and pretty singing, that will do it. Then I love God. No, you don't. Because not everyone that confesses to love God really does it in practical ways. You see, there's a problem of the heart. People are born with a sinful heart. And I believe that our baptism candidates, they knew that they had this sinful nature, that they knew they had this tendency. It's like a bias in our character, in our personality. It's like a magnet that always tends to drag us down into the things that we shouldn't be doing or shouldn't be saying. Because there is this weakened, sinful nature that's deep in the heart of the natural man. Something has to happen to the heart, or it cannot ever love God all the way. It's impossible. That sinful heart cannot love God the way it should be. So something needs to be done. Something has to happen. Jesus says, out of the hearts of men come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lies, and slander. That comes out of the evil heart. Gossiping about others and lying and all of that stuff, the cheating part, everything. It's like this bias that's in the heart. It's so easy to do that, right? And that is exactly what hinders us from loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So we would say, well, we need a bypass, you know, heart surgery. You know, if some arteries are clogged up, we need a bypass. And if I have the bypass, if I have the stent put in by God, then it will be enough. And so many people believe that if I take on a religious confession, if I can say I'm a Baptist, I'm a Mennonite, or I'm Church of God, or I'm Catholic, or I'm evangelical, I'm this or that, and I identify with a certain group, then I have a bypass, then it is okay. Then I can love God with all my heart. Is that biblical? Is that right? Is a bypass enough? See, a lot of people think of a bypass when they want to love God. They want to bypass repentance. They want to bypass this brokenness, this godly sorrow that is needed to really come to the Lord and confess their sins and their hopelessness to the Savior. So we don't need a bypass. What do we need? We need a transplant. We don't need a bypass of our old heart. We need a new heart. And this is what Ezekiel said in the book of Ezekiel. God promised this transplant to take place. I will give you a new heart, and I will put in you a new spirit. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, meaning a soft, pliable heart. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees, my word, and be careful to keep my laws. So there we are. You know, we know that when someone has both kidneys failing, oftentimes they're looking for a donor. And if a donor matches and someone is merciful enough and gives one of their kidneys to the other person, then they help. They say this is a transplant. Leukemia, they say if you get healthy bone marrow and they need donors. They need to have someone to donate bone marrow. Or, some other ways that we donate blood, right? But what if someone needs a heart transplant and they find that you have the same blood type and say, can you donate your heart to the other person? What is going to happen to you? Well, that's one thing. We only have one heart. And we cannot afford to donate our own hearts to somebody else so they can live. What will happen is we will be dead. But this is exactly what Jesus has done, and this is the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God saw already in the Old Testament that we needed new hearts, that we needed a heart transplant, not our own hearts, that our old hearts would have to be removed and a new one would have to be made. And Jesus offered and said, "Come, I will give you my heart." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that powerful? This is the gospel message today. Jesus still gives new hearts because he gave his life for us. He said, "Take mine." He is the Son of God. See, when we come to Christ for the new heart, he enables us to then love God with all our hearts. Beforehand, it's not possible. We become partakers of the nature, the divine nature of Jesus Christ. His Spirit is one with us. And it is the possibility then that we can love him with all our hearts. A new heart makes it possible to love God the way that we should, the way that God is pleased. Our love for God then is shown when we care for the person, our neighbors, for the person that is in the ditch. Now you may say, "Well, I'm in the ditch a whole lot of times." Yes. But we can't stay there if we help one another. You see, the Pharisee, or this young ruler, he says, "Who is my neighbor? How can I prove my love for God if I don't do it on a daily basis towards my family and my fellow human beings?" So we have people in our lives. Maybe you meet people at work, maybe at school, that have broken lives. Maybe you have a friend. Maybe you young ladies have a friend who broke up with their boyfriend or broke up a relationship and they're heartbroken. That's the person in the ditch that God puts our way, and that's where we start showing the love of God. Maybe we know a person that has been abused from childhood on and has known nothing other than abuse. But our compassion to that person shows that we love God and that we let them know we care. Even though we may not change their lives completely, but we can help, we can encourage the way that we possibly can, that we love God. And it is important that our neighbors, that our fellow human beings know that we love God in that the way we treat them. You know, it's very important that we learn from our mistakes. Whether we drive somewhere, and I remember when we moved to California, and that was, it took me weeks to get used to the traffic in Southern California. You have to get used to it. And when I made a mistake and people would honk their horn, I would just wave and act like, oh, you know, I'm a visitor here, you know, please have compassion on me. But drivers are not always friendly. And it seems that sometimes we are tested not to show our love because we're human. And that old nature wants to pop up. No, we cannot and must not allow that to happen. And if it happens, we must be on our knees quickly to get it right with God. So there are reasons for compassion. Why should we do good? I want to read to you, before we hear the testimonies, how it looks like when love is in action. That is, the only true love is when it's love in action. We need to prove to our fellow believers, to the church, and to our families that we love God by loving them. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 23, and then we want to come to a close. 1 John 3, verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Now he gave his heart so that we may have a new heart. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We need to be willing. And this is quite a standard, right? We need to be willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, even in the church. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, John goes on to say, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. True love can never be separated from truth. Love and truth have to go hand in hand. If not, it's not true love. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him, meaning that we don't have to be afraid of the judgment of Christ when we live in truth and love. For if our heart condemns us, listen to this. If you are plagued by guilt, remember this, that God is greater than your heart. And he can overrule that guilt, and he knows all things as long as you stay in truth and honesty before him. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. God says, love me with all your heart and all your mind, all your strength. And we say, that's impossible, because that's the old heart saying that. Love says, love me with all your heart. Love the neighbor as yourself. We say that's impossible. We need a bypass. And God says, no, you need a transplant. And in Jesus Christ, he offers us this heart transplant that loves God and loves our neighbor as ourselves. May God give us the power through his Holy Spirit to do that. Amen.